I have a couple things to confess at the top of the show.
Get it off your chest.
One, I only watched one of the documentaries because my VPN expired and there is nowhere in Australia that is currently airing the Hulu documentary. So I've only seen the Netflix one. Two, I don't remember how we connected it to the Parsha. I've read the Parsha. I've read like the text itself. I've read the nutshell. And for some reason, for the life of me, I'm like, why did we choose Fyre Festival?
That's so funny. It's not in our Google Doc.
No, I've searched the Google Doc. This is the first time where I've rocked up and I'm like, I don't know what these connections are. And I really hope that Valerie does.
Like, I feel like it might have been, I don't, I have some connections to go through,
Okay, cool. Good. That's all we need.
but I feel like it might have been like telling the same story from a different angle, right? Because we're still in Dvarim, we're still getting like the like kind of new take, but that's not really what happens in this
Yeah,
parsha.
it's not. So it can't be that. It's got to be something else. I feel like it's something to do with the blessings and the curse, right? Like the curse of having lots of money and being able to just throw around your freaking wealth like crazy.
Okay, I have comparisons for when we get there.
Okay, cool. Okay, so we got some comparisons, and hopefully the more we talk and chat it through, I'll be able to recognize those comparisons. It's great. We are professionals.
That's really funny.
I recorded a different podcast this week. I got interviewed for a podcast, and they were like, you're old hat at this, Shoshana. Like, you know what to do. And I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm like, Valerie edits it.
Right,
Like,
you're like our
I'm like,
operations together by like duct tape and like dental floss. Like I
I'm
don't.
like, I rock up and I speak, and like that's it. But on a different note, I've had like two or three different people say to me this week that they like have met people or know people who are fans of the podcast.
That is
One of our friends from Paradise messaged me and was like, I was at Shabbat lunch, and someone was talking about how much they liked your podcast, and we'll talk about you and Valerie, and it was really funny. And I was like, that's so fun. And then someone I met was like, yeah, my husband loves the podcast. And I was like, that's so funny. Like he doesn't have Instagram, like, because usually when people know me, it's from Instagram. He doesn't have Instagram.
Aww.
It's this. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. Hi, little burps. We love you.
Hey, little burps.
Yeah, somebody said
And
this.
yet no one sends us voice recordings like we ask to through that website. Everyone loves us, but no one does what we ask.
We haven't made that request in a long time. We could renew that request.
I wanna, we got one. We got one really good recording.
We did. Yeah, what Shoshana is talking about, just so you know, feel free to through Anchor, you can send us voice notes, and we'll play them on the show. I can't promise,
Yeah.
I feel like I need to put out the warning. I can't promise that Shoshana will be nice to you.
No, if anything, if this podcast has proved anything, I think it'll prove that I'll probably be a bit mean to you.
Yeah. So that's
But
that.
yeah.
But if you're prepared for Shoshana to like fully disagree with you, which is just part of her personality, it's really charming.
I'll gently bully you a bit.
Yeah.
You'll get the full Shoshana experience.
But somebody, the same thing happened to me. One of my new coworkers was like, I was at a Shabbat meal and somebody was saying that she's like a big fan of the podcast.
That's so fun.
I was truly, I think I said this to her multiple times. I was like, it's truly like this thing that I feel like I do because I like doing it with you, and that it like has nothing to do with listenership at this point. Like I would love
No,
to have
not at
more
all.
interaction, and I love when we post and people like write in their hot takes on movies or whatever. It's really fun, and I feel like I do it just because it's like a fun time and I
It's
get
literally, it's how we've stay, like it's how we stay in touch.
yeah
It's how I learn the parsha.
yeah
And then also people just listen to us do it. It's so fun.
Yeah.
We love it. We love to see it.
Cool. Should we do pop culture moments?
Yeah, I have to consult my list. Do you have one off the top of your head?
I do. I was telling Shoshana before we got on the air that I just started this week. It's like training for the school that I'm working at. And this part I didn't tell you, but I feel like everybody that I'm working with, what I told Den is they have BFF potential. Like I just feel like everyone is so nice and
That's
funny
so
and whatever,
cute.
But the moment that I really knew that I was in the right school was we went to a bar after our first day of work, like right next door, and everyone broke out into Fabulous from High School Musical. And I was just like, this is where I'm meant to be.
That's so nice. It also means that you're working with like millennials, right?
It was then a discussion about whether people were millennials or not, or if they were cuspers.
Like, I'm really enjoying my new job. Most of the people I'd say I interact with are above the age of like 45. Mm-hmm. And then 45% are like children because they're students. Yeah. And then like 5% are like a bit younger than me. Right. So I'm like in this weird spot. No one's singing High School Musical at work. But my new boss, every time she introduces me to someone else on the team, is like, this is Shoshana, have you seen her Instagram? Because she found out I have this Instagram and is like obsessed with it. But I'm like, she's like, has she told you about it yet? I'm like, no, because I don't, like, I try and.
You are truly, that is your brand. You try to fly under the radar.
Meanwhile, I try to fly under the radar and everyone's like, Instagram. And then someone came up to me at work and she was like, the first day she saw me, she's like, you look so familiar. Why do I know you? And I used to work at like the only kosher supermarket for like 4 years. And so people always used to know me from there. And I'd be like, oh no, like probably Krinsky's or something. And then yesterday she came up to me and she's like, Shoshana, I realized I know you because of your Instagram. And I'm like, oh yeah. There's that.
I am a little bit nervous. Thank you.
It was very funny. Anyway.
I have to remember that at Purdue's, like every 2 months for our full first year of school, somebody would like bring up the fact that you had a famous Instagram page and you hate it, but it was like everyone, like you would send your memes, but you would like cut off like the the Jewish memes only tag, and like then people would be like, that's really funny, where'd you get that?
I'm like, I just found it. That is funny. Okay, my pop culture moment. Let me just sip my coffee 1 second. My pop culture moment is that one Lady Gaga performance of Paparazzi. Like, I think it was like the VMAs or something. And she like simulates getting shot in the chest on stage. And there's a certain point, like towards the end of the song, where she just starts like bleeding out, and the whole crowd is like, what's going on? And just like the artistry of that performance, I think. Also, her voice is insane and it's live and like it just sounds amazing. And I've been thinking a lot about that because it's become a trending sound on TikTok.
Oh, interesting.
But before that, I would always just be like in the back of my mind every so often, I'd be like, that's a good performance. That's like peak Lady Gaga. It's like between, like she's not wearing like a crazy outfit, but like the theatrics behind the performance and like I guess like the theme, like drawing out the themes of the song and presenting them in a new way through a visual performance, which is like, it's insane and it's so good. Anyway, highly recommend.
Also, what a different tone the world had for her to be able to fake getting shot at a concert.
Oh, crazy. As in like you sort of just like, you don't really see, like you don't hear a gunshot, but like you see just like something happens and she like screams and then there's just like blood coming out of her midsection and you're like, what's going on? I'll try and, if I remember, I will link it in our story for everyone to see, because it's crazy.
Spoilers for the last episode of Only Murders in the Building. So
if we can't do that. That's so mean.
I'm telling them there's spoilers and then
that's so mean.
Skip ahead a few minutes.
No, we can't. It's brand new. It came out like a day ago. We can't talk about spoilers. We can talk about it next week. You know, talk about it next week.
I'm not going to edit. No, but it relates to what you just talked about.
Fine. But if it gets ruined for someone and then Jordy blames me accidentally for ruining the finale, it's all on you.
Okay, Jordy, baby, buddy.
Spoilers. Spoilers for Only Murders.
Pause now. Skip ahead a few minutes. Or just pause, go watch the finale of Only Murders in the Building, and then come back.
Yeah, that you can do that. Okay. Okay. Speak. Go.
When Steve Martin gets stabbed.
Yeah.
did they kill off Steve Martin? Like, I can't believe this.
No, because also he's had like this whole thing recently, like, he was in an interview and he's like, I think this might be my last role. So when they stab him and I'm like, oh, like, it's now, like, he's just decided he wants to retire from the whole thing. He's out of it. Like, he's not doing another role. And then he came back to life and it was crazy.
That was crazy.
I'm a bit I'm not disappointed in the new season. I just think it, like, was not as tight as the first season. Like, the first season was just like a chef's kiss masterpiece, and this one's like good. It's good. It's not as great. I feel like they were trying to just like confuse us too much.
Right.
But I still really liked it.
Right. That in the last episode, they like two times point the finger at the wrong person in order to like
fake out.
Yeah. I agree. They also introduced a lot of new characters this season, feels like. Maybe not so many. Maybe it's just Cara Delevingne, but...
It's Cara Delevingne. Like Tina Fey was in last season, but, like, she was, like, an actual character this season. She wasn't just in, like, the finale and the first episode type thing. And it was good. Like, Shirley MacLaine was in it. You know, Amy Schumer was in the first episode.
Yeah, Amy Schumer was good. I enjoyed
it. Okay. I will say the reveal of Paul Rudd. And that was good. The fact that Paul Rudd is now in the cast and they revealed it in like the last third of the season finale. Fantastic.
That was really confusing, that part of the show. That's the part I feel like the most, like, I guess now they made it vague enough that they can basically do anything.
Yeah. Like, I'm sure they have some kind of idea of where they want to take it. But like needed it to be vague enough that like you don't, I don't know.
Yeah, but you're right. It was too many bait and switches.
Too many.
Yeah. You you want it to be confusing enough that like you like have to piece things together, but like you also want to be able to predict the ending.
100%. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Should we nutshell the Pasha?
Let's do it.
Okay. Nutshell. Can I just say, I posted a TikTok last night and someone told me I have a confusing accent and I found that rude. And then someone who I'm friends with keeps telling me that I sound American and that's rude. And so I'm just like, I don't know why I thought of that just then. I'm just mad at everyone who's confused at my accent. Anyway, Parshat Ra'eh. We are nutshelling this parsha. And it starts off with, we got like the really famous bit where God says that, like God tells Moshe to tell the people to do something once they enter Israel. So this is all instruction, but basically there's two mountains called Gerizim and Ebal in Israel. And there's a list of blessings that get recited like on one mountain. And there's a list of curses that get recited on the other mountain. And it's the whole thing of like, if you're blessed, if you do like God's commandments, then you're blessed. If you don't, then you're cursed. Sorry, my mom's just messaging me. Then we're told that we have to establish a temple for Hashem, and that's where we're going to do sacrifices, and that it's going to be forbidden to do sacrifices in anywhere but the temple. And then we're told that false prophets should be put to death. And we're told that an idolatrous city must be destroyed. And we're told the different signs of kosher animals and kosher fish. And we're told the list of non-kosher birds again. All of this stuff is just repeated. And then we're told about like tithing, about like giving to the poor or like putting a tenth aside for different things. We talk about the firstborn cattle that gets offered at the temple for the Kohanim. Like that's part of the tithing. And then we're told about tzedakah or charity and giving to the needy, and we're told about the sabbatical year, the Shemitah year, and then we're told about debt forgiveness and how we let go of slaves. Like it's a lot of like, again, rehashing stuff that we already know. And then we talk about Pesach, Shavuos and Sukkot again, and about how those should become pilgrimage festivals where we go and see Hashem at the temple. And that's the parsha.
Beautiful. Okay, now check out. Sumi is sitting on my lap. Can you see her?
Hello, cat.
Are you so cute?
Can I just tell you the funniest text I got from my friend?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you know who Gabby Hanna is?
Maybe.
Gabby Hanna's a YouTuber. And she is currently, and it's like really sad, but like she's sort of like got really weird, but now she's like very clearly in the midst of like a manic episode. But like posting like hundreds of TikToks, like in the span of 2 days type vibe. So it's like everyone's watching her have this episode like live on the internet. And my friend and I are like, we're just like keep seeing it because it keeps coming up. But she's also getting really religious. And this is where the funny part comes in. My friend just texts me. She goes, why is Gabby saying Joseph is the father of Jesus Christ? Is that a thing? Or is it a different Joseph to Yosef?
Yes, is the answer.
And I was like, a different guy. Just different guy named Joe.
That's really funny. Hold on. I need to see her face. Gabby.
She's like an old YouTuber.
Hmm.
Vine person, like from like the David Dobrik era.
Interesting. Wow, well, wishing her the best. Sumi is now sitting right next to the microphone. I'm a little nervous. Okay,
it'll be fine. Yes. Do you want to tell the people what we're watching this week?
Okay, so here's what we did. We watched both of the Fyre Festival documentaries.
You did.
One of us watched both documentaries. One of us only watched Festival,
one of us did not have access.
So the Netflix one is called Fyre, The Greatest Party That Never Happened. So 2019 documentary film about Billy McFarland and the failed Fyre Festival of 2017, directed by Chris Smith, produced by Danny Gabay and Nick, I don't know how to say his last name, Perchitsky, or whatever. Released on Netflix in January of 2019. And then at the same time, around the same time, there was a documentary on Hulu called Fyre Fraud. The Wikipedia summary is American documentary film directed by Jenner First and Julia Willoughby Nassen that premiered on January 14th, 2019. So 4 days before the Netflix version. And I just found them, I find watching both of them to be a really fascinating experience because they are similar, but not the same. And they interview a couple of the same people.
Interesting.
Like the guy, like the white guy that started the like fake Fyre Festival page is interviewed in both of them.
Yeah.
And then the... Are you getting some weird feedback? You hear that or is that just on my end?
I think it's just on your end.
I'm getting weird feedback. Okay, well, I don't know if anyone is going to pick it up or not. Yeah. I feel like you watched the better one, honestly. Oh, the other thing about the Netflix one is it was produced by Fuck Jerry. And because that was the media company that they used to promote Fyre Festival. But in the Hulu one, they actually had the guy who was working on the social media campaign for Fuck Jerry, who he was one of the interviewees and he talked a little bit about like the social media strategy and like what they were doing.
Interesting. Yeah. I feel like, I don't like one of my favorite, like I've spoken about this definitely before, but like one of my favorite, like, I guess like subgenres of nonfiction things is when like I know what's gonna happen, but the ride to getting to like the end point is really fun and interesting, which is why I really like the movie Spotlight, which isn't a nonfiction film, but like based on true events. And it's why I really like the book She Said, right? Because it's like about the Harvey Weinstein case. And it's like, I know what happens, I lived through it, but like the lead up, all that background stuff is so interesting. And like they do it in such good detail. This was like the opposite of that. I was stressed the whole time. It was like that, like, you know, have you seen Uncut Gems? You know how Uncut Gems is like the most stressful film you'll ever watch in your entire life? You haven't seen it. Again, like we lived through Fyre Festival. Like we watched it happen on the internet. This documentary, every horrible decision that these people continue to make, the money that these people just threw around with careless abandon, made me like infuriated. I was mad the whole time. I was stressed out because I'm like, you guys have like get a better decision making skills. Like, it just, everything about it, I was pissed, I was annoyed. And I'm just like, it's crazy. Like, the fact that this happened, the fact that so many people go unchecked and so many people just write like literally blank checks for people because they're like, oh, this white guy had a good idea, he's charming, even though he's like the smarmiest looking piece of shit I've ever seen. Like, every time they were like, he was the most charismatic person in the room, and then you see a photo of his face and I'm like, that man looks like cheese. Like, he just like, I'm like, how is this the guy that you're like putting all of your money into? It makes no sense. I know everything about it. I was just so annoyed the whole time. 100%. The documentary, though, it's a good, great movie. So pissed me off so much.
Maybe because I watched the Netflix. I watched them basically back to back. I did take a walk in between.
Nice.
Hot girl walk. But I watched them pretty much back to back. I felt like the Netflix one really ramped up the stress factor more than the Hulu one. Hulu seemed to have less, and I mean, this makes sense because Fuck Jerry was the media company, so they had all the original footage and stuff. So they have more like filler stuff, and they focus on it being such like a perfect like millennial trap.
Right.
Like specifically like McFarland being like the ultimate millennial, artist. Meanwhile Netflix, I feel like, just comes at it at like a slightly different angle. Netflix one, they interviewed Mark Weinstein, right, who was the consultant. And then they also have the like older white guy who was like his mentor.
I don't think he was for water. Oh, that guy. Yeah. Here's the other thing. I did not watch this, the documentary when it first came out. And I remember seeing like all of the memes about that. But then again, watching it unfold like in real time as I'm watching this documentary, I was beshock. The fact that this man thought he was about to go in and like.
Yeah.
Suck a knee. I'm like, what is happening?
Wild.
he's been in this business for 30 years. How are you in this situation? Like, why did no alarm bells go off before this? It makes no sense.
Insane. Okay, let's just take a second to talk about the comparisons, and then I feel like we can break down the movie a little more as we go. One of the things I thought was interesting to imagine, because what both of these documentaries do is include like several interviews of both like people who went to the festival, people who were involved in planning the festival, like on Billy's team, but then also people who were involved in planning the festival who were like working on the island. Working in the Bahamas. That's right.
Are you asking if it's the Bahamas or Bahamas?
No, that is the islands where it is. Yeah, the Bahamas.
Yeah. Oh, I see what the question was.
I was like, it's not, anyway. I'm not from the East Coast, but the Bahamas are like a little bit of like a mystery to me. You know, we just go to Hawaii on the West Coast.
Just go to Hawaii.
Comparisons I was thinking about, number one is like these multiple perspectives is really interesting when you imagine the like entering of the land of Israel. It's kind of a contrast to what we're experiencing now, which is just Moshe's perspective and the perspective we get through the Torah, versus like this must have been like a really incredible and intense experience for everyone involved. And yet we only get one narrative. I was also thinking about like the idea of like coming into the land of Israel and trying to like set up something that's brand new feels very much related to like they were trying to come to an island that had like no infrastructure, like nothing was there, and like to put on a music festival there. It feels a little bit like, I just can imagine the same thing. You like get to Yerushalayim and you're like, okay, so now we just have to like build a whole temple, like a little intense. And Mark Weinstein talks about this. He's the festival consultant that was hired by Billy's team pretty late in the game, it seems like. Although, yeah, and in the Hulu documentary, there are like a couple other people that seem like they're on the same team that he was on, like the setup team. But he talked about how what draws him to festival planning is that it's like about creating a special experience for someone. And I feel like that's maybe also what Moshe is trying to do with all of this. Like, obviously there are a lot of things he's doing with this speech. Like it's his swan song. It's also a reminder and a warning and all of that. But I think he's also trying to like get people ready for what is going to be a really intense experience. And then my last comparison is the cheese sandwich, just like talking about kashrut in this parsha. And then cheese those cheese sandwiches.
Yeah. Yeah. I think like I was thinking about it when I was waiting for the next Zoom link. I think like a couple of like just random like laws that we get of like, you know, the false prophet. And like, I think it's really interesting that it's a false prophet, but it's also one who entices others to worship idols as well, should be put to death. And I think like this recognition that a really strong personality can lead so many people astray and cause so many other people to just like do bad. And that's like what this is, right? It's basically one guy who thought he had a good idea and was like, no, we can do this. And like kept just trying to convince people and like shutting down all, at least according to the Netflix documentary, right? Like people kept trying to say like, this is a bad idea. And he was like, okay, then you can go.
Right. He was like, I love this line that he's like, we're looking for people who can be solutions oriented. Like,
yeah,
I love that idea that somebody tells you no, and you're like, either you're going to be a part of the solution or you're going to get out.
Yeah. And so it's like, and you're causing other people to do like crazy shit as well. Like that's another thing. Like you're causing other people around you to sin. So I think like that was a comparison I was thinking of. I think I was thinking about like, again, like we said before, sort of this idea of, you know, blessings and curses, and sometimes those are the same things, and like his immense wealth is essentially his downfall. But it's just crazy, like they're talking so much about, like he's like, I can do this for $38 million, and I'm like, that's too much money. The fact that like the amounts that they were throwing around and saying on screen, I'm like, this is just insane. Like I can't conceptualize how much this is costing. And how quickly you're like just wasting it as well. Like it's, right. It was insane.
Right. Well, I don't, that goes into like at the end of both of the documentaries, they start talking about like his next thing, which was like selling Hamilton tickets or like getting like tickets to the Met Gala or whatever. It was like, there's always the next thing to like pay for the thing before it.
Right. And I think on like the other hand, like the only people in this documentary I feel genuinely like bad for are like the locals on the island who get completely fucked over.
Yeah, the Bahamians.
Because they're, yeah, all of these people who like are renting out their Airbnbs, who are working like around the clock, like doing like labor tasks to get things built. That woman and her restaurant, you know, she's feeding people constantly. And for them, like that's the whole thing, right? Like this idea that the festival is going to come in and really stimulate the economy for this island, and then it just ends up like no one gets paid. It's just crazy. Like they get completely messed over. This thing that they think is going to be like life changing for them, because it's like, you know, if it happens well this year, then next year it'll be good as well. And like,
right.
Like for the next, like it's a 5-year contract type thing, and then it's just like, oh. She's left, she had to pay $50,000 of her own savings to like cover things and pay people. Wow. And so she's left like just with literally nothing. Meanwhile, this guy Billy is like back in New York living in a penthouse and hasn't paid a dime and is just like going to prison. And I also think it's like the people who are involved in like this class, in this, was it the class action lawsuit? Like these are all people who had the money to pay for the tickets, right? The people who are suing and who are ostensibly going to get money out of the situation aren't the people who need the money.
Right.
Right. Like these, how do you put it? Bahamians? They're not the ones, Bahamian? I don't know. They're not the ones getting paid out of this, right? They're not suing anyone. They just have to like keep going and not have money now. And it's horrible.
Right. Yeah.
And we're talking about charity in this parasha. We're talking about helping people and like forgiving debt. But some debt shouldn't be forgived.
Shouldn't be forgived.
Especially Billy McFarlane's debt. He should be paying back every single cent he owes to all of those people.
Totally. I think he like yes. really doesn't have the money. Like he spent it all. It like as soon as it was spent.
It's insane. It's like actually insane. Totally. Oh man. He just annoyed me so much. Also when he was like the first island they had it on and they got kicked out of because they kept talking about how it was Pablo Escobar's island.
Yeah.
And he has this line where he's like, the American dream is to live like Pablo Escobar. And I'm like, whose dream is that?
No.
Who is the average American that you were talking to that you think that's true?
Right.
Oh, it made me so mad.
It's wild that they like sold out the tickets too. Like that is like yeah. one of the craziest pieces of this is that like, had they done the planning necessary and like come in with the infrastructure and whatever, like they had the audience for this festival.
Yeah. It's really just like, and it's all these people with like disposable money or like who
right.
don't have disposable cash, but you know, want the experience anyway, because it makes it seem like they do. Like it's like that whole game. The fact that he was giving all of these influencers like free tickets. Right. As well, like that seems like a bad business decision.
Right. It's interesting because that is kind of like a question that comes up is like, is it the influencers who are responsible? Is it Billy who's responsible? Right. Or is it the people who were alongside him who like, but from the information we have, it seems like they pushed back and they were like, I don't think this is going to happen. And he was like, and what, like we talked about, he was like, come with solutions or don't come at all. Yeah, it's a question kind of like whose fault is something.
And then there was this one point where, okay, so first I thought it was like really funny watching all of these, you know, random like American young people come in and just realizing that there's nothing. Like, so like that descent into just like the chaos of their realizations was very funny. There were two points that stick out most. One, there's this one shot that like someone had been filming on the bus. And you see their first reaction, or like you hear their first reactions to seeing the campsite of these tents. And you can see in the bus driver's like rearview mirror, you can see the bus driver laughing as he hears everyone realizing what's happening. And it like cracked me up. But then also there's this one guy who admits on screen, he's like, things turned a bit crazy. He was slashing other people's tents.
That's wild.
Because he didn't want people like living near him. And for me, I'm like, that's just peak. Like that's the type of people that this is catering to.
Yeah.
Like the immensely selfish. I think that's the best way to like this guy didn't want people in the tents next to him, so he destroyed like, those tents.
Saying that they like peed on mattresses. Meanwhile, like people yeah. like literally are like trying to find places to sleep and like don't have yeah. food. And it's like, couldn't you like band together and like be?
And he was yeah. And he's like, all the camaraderie of the daytime left, that it turned into like a bloodbath. And I'm like, you're the one doing that. You're the one. Like you have the control in this situation. You don't go. Don't go piss on things. Don't go slashing tents. I know, it made me so mad. And that's when I'm like, okay, I don't feel sorry for like a single person who got on a plane and paid for a ticket to Fyre Festival because you guys suck.
Right. I do remember like the Instagram posts. And then I remember like going on the website and being like, this is wild. Like who's going to this festival? It's like insanely expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things is Ja Rule. And the people who were calling him Ja, like it's his first, like his, oh. like his Christian given name is Ja Rule. And these guys were like, yeah, Ja said that it would be fine. And I'm like.
Also like Ja Rule, like I think the Hulu documentary talks about this a little bit more, like of like why Ja Rule and like, who is this person? Like, yeah.
Right. I don't know. It was just so funny.
So yeah, I don't know. Right. I also remember that aspect of it when it happened of being like, why Ja Rule? Like, why are yeah. we excited about like a festival that Ja Rule is co-planning?
Well, I think it's also so in like, and this is the, I think the puzzle piece that I didn't really get is that it didn't, it started off as a app, right? It started off as like to be able to book talent.
Right.
Do it, like to streamline the process for venues and for events to be booking people to perform or attend or whatever it is. And then from there, it just turned into like the biggest shit show you've ever seen. Cause like, and like, I guess that part makes sense, right? It makes sense that people think the app's a great idea, so they're investing. What doesn't make sense is that they keep giving money when they hear about, like, you don't need the festival to sell it, right? Like, let the idea speak for itself.
Right. I think, like, the idea is that it's, like, the festival is the kickoff, and it's, like, a,
yeah,
kind of like a cheeky, like, wild thing for them to be doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. It's like, yeah, like a little bit unnecessary for, and like
so unnecessary.
Right, people from the app were like, we spent hours working on and building this app and like really believed in like the technology or whatever. And then for that to just disappear because like their reputation was fucked.
Yeah, it's crazy. I had another point that I was going, oh, that point in the Netflix one where they lock the people inside the airport.
Yeah.
At that, like, there were several moments where I was just like, surely this can't get worse. And then like, and then they started locking us in the airport with no food or water. I'm like, this is insane. This is cooked.
Yeah. I do appreciate, like, I can just imagine, we've had so many episodes where it feels like Vinayas or Al has just gone absolutely feral in a way that you're like, what is wrong with you? Haven't we done this before? And that's exactly what fucking happens in this
documentary. It's exactly what it is. It's like, oh my God, you guys are complaining about Mun again, like get it together. And now it's like, oh my God.
And the people that were at the airport who were like blackout drunk.
Oh my God.
Like, I just can't imagine what that's like to like come to your senses and be like, what the fuck is going on?
It's so fun. I think it's just like the whole thing, right? The fact that they were trying to get like documentary footage of the whole thing.
Yeah.
When they're still filming the ads, right? The fact that they got someone behind the scenes, like I feel like a lot of them were Jewish, like not Billy, but like the other guy who was like telling him what to say, who just always looked the most stressed out anytime he was on screen. So like the fact that they were trying to make it into like, they wanted this to be a documentary, right? They wanted this like to go down in history as like the coolest thing ever. And then it just completely backfired.
Right. I think they like imagined that they were doing something where like they would want to make a documentary about the making of it. Yeah.
But I hate that, right? I hate people like living their lives. And this might sound a bit rich, but like people living their lives thinking that every single thing they do is worth documenting and doing.
Right.
I understand. I am a person who posts on Instagram story several times a day of inane shit, but like I do that for my own entertainment, not for other people.
Yeah. Right. Hi. Did you know? She's literally sitting next to where I have the microphone. Right. take a screenshot of this.
You don't understand. It literally sounded like she was. Oh my God, that was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
Are you so cute?
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Oh my God, did you get a photo?
Yeah, I'm gonna see if I can send it through to you from my laptop. Oh my God.
Okay, she's also so hysterical. We have this water fountain for them that like pumps water out of the tub, and like Zati drinks from it and like, fine, no problem. Sumi drinks from it, she has water droplets all over her face. Like, I'm like, I don't know why you do this.
Well, that was so, when you said hi, and then like, I've never heard a meow so like crisp and clear before. Oh, that was so funny.
Oh my God, are you a podcaster? Thank you
for that moment. What were we saying before?
I don't know.
Before the cat distracted us.
I did just look at the next Parsha. The next Parsha is Shof Team again. Didn't we already have a Parshat Shof Team?
No, there is a book called Shof Team.
All right, there we go. Anyway, yeah. I was thinking, I don't remember what happens in Shof Team, and we have another movie lined up for next week. But I was like, it feels like when you're talking about like the tiered system that Moshe creates, like I'm like, oh, we should have done Fyre Festival for that, because then we could like the influencers as a tier and like
yeah. Right. Next week, finally, I think we're doing Spotlight.
Yes.
Mostly just because it's about the judicial system. And I'm like, finally, I can shoehorn in my favorite movie.
Yeah. The one of the things I wrote in my notes about this, which like my notes are not complete. Like I mostly just watch whatever thing we're watching and I'll write down like a couple. Yeah. I've said it before and I'll say it again. White men are the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed. The fact they had a mole in their meetings who kept reporting what was happening, like as it was happening. And the fact that I don't know who that is. Oh, there's a puppy. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, sir. Do you have anything to say to the people?
No, snap.
He has nothing to say. He had nothing to say. Yeah, they had a mole and they didn't know what was happening. They didn't know who it was. We still don't know who it was.
Yeah, that's also crazy.
I don't know. I just let me think what else I have written down. It was like a bit like Inventing Anna, but like times by a trillion. Just totally. I think, and here's I think the real thing I take away from this genre of like rich people doing rich shit. It masks off, like mask off just completely, like you is like how much wealth there is in the world and how stupid people are in spending it. Because here's the thing, like, and I think there's, it's a bit conspiracy theory-esque, but like people think that like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk are the richest people in the world, but there's definitely people richer than them who are just not like dumb enough to make all of their wealth known, right? Like these Saudi like royal families who just have like infinite money and have had that for generations and generations, but they don't fucking talk about it. And I think the rest of the really rich people get really pissed off when something like this happens because people become aware of how much wealth there is and how much is being spent and wasted.
Yeah.
When in reality, like, because like it should be illegal to have this. It should be illegal to squander that amount of money. And like, what happens? Like people aren't getting paid. Like, where is this money going? Like none of it makes sense. And right. I just, if I were a richer guy and people suddenly were like talking about like how wealth is immoral because of this guy, because of Billy McFarlane, I'd be pissed.
Be like, you should.
I'd be so mad.
Do before I eat breakfast in the morning.
Yeah, I'd be so mad.
Yeah, I mean, that's like crazy rich Asians too, right? Like.
Exactly. Exactly. Can I help you? Are you gonna stand at the door and speak to me? You're gonna come and say hi.
Would you be so mad?
He's just rolling up his sleeves.
He's rolling up his sleeves and singing to himself. Are you done? Okay, we can ignore him. Anyway, anything else to say? Have you seen the Fire Shaker? Have you seen the Fire Festival documentary?
Yeah.
Do you have anything to say about it?
The guy sucked dick for a bottle of water.
Can you come say
literally that was gibberish. It was gibberish.
he goes, like, do you have any thoughts on it? And he goes, that guy sucked dick for bottled water.
Yes!
Even though he didn't. Even though he said on camera he didn't, that the man was nice enough.
Yeah.
That was really okay, crazy.
That is something actually, this current that underpinned the whole thing was just this like cis straight male privilege, like that made me deeply uncomfortable. Like that is like insane that they would go to someone and they would be like, you need to, like, as if any of them, if it was a woman who they were interacting with, as if any of them could have like seduced that woman into like giving them the bottled water or whatever is crazy. And then there was also like the scenes of them when they're like drunk on the beach trying to convince everybody to like jump in the water. And they're like, this is everyone's dream. Like we are selling a dream to people, like da da da. And I'm like, yes, that like mediocre men can like hang out with beautiful models. Yeah. Like that is, I guess, a straight white man's dream. But
it was just, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. The whole thing. And again, like when this was happening, like as in like when the documentary was first released and I didn't, that guy's like, his name's like Andy or something.
Yeah.
And he admitted on screen to it. And no one's response, I feel like, was it is supremely fucked up that they asked the only gay man on their team to go and suck someone's dick.
Like,
the response was, I can't believe he admitted that on camera. And I'm like, first of all, he's probably being paid a mint for this. Like, it's fine. But yeah, I'm just like, where was the outrage? Where, like, and I think that's just like, all you get is the memes instead.
Yeah. So the crazy part about the Hulu documentary is they actually interview Billy.
Really?
Yeah. And he at one point is like, I haven't like told you any lies. Like, I haven't lied about anything. And they're like, what about this? What about that? And he's like, he's just such a dick about it. Like, even literally on camera where he is like telling them this like story, he's like, I fucked up, like I should have whatever. He also then like goes on to be like, I haven't lied about a single thing. And they're like, you're insane.
It's just, again, it just comes back to, it's always the most insufferable person. Yeah. And I'm like, why is everyone giving this guy money all the time of day at all? Oh man. Oh, I'm so mad now. It's made me even madder than I was at watching this documentary.
I agree. It was a rough time. Like, that was, yeah.
Yeah. I also remember when it was happening though. And like, everyone's like, I was like, this is insane. People are just trapped on this island.
The fact that it became a twin movie, like, is the, like, amazing that, like, that is how it played out, that then two different companies made a documentary about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good classic twin movie.
Have you ever been to a big music festival?
Valerie, take everything you know about me.
I just didn't want to make any assumptions.
I went out with friends on Saturday night and we went to a hotel called the Imperial Hotel, which is basically like, it's a bar, but like it turns into a bit of like a club vibe. And I had the worst time. Like, I was having fun with my friends, but like too many people touching me.
Yeah.
I didn't want to dance because like I was too uncomfortable, like on the verge of just like not wanting to. And also like, I don't know, I was just on edge. I can't do it. Been to good concerts though. I went to a Fleetwood Mac concert.
Mm.
I went to a really good Demi Lovato concert once. I went to a City in Colour concert once. I've seen some good concerts.
Yeah.
Have you been to a giant music festival? I feel like you have.
Yeah, I've been to a couple.
A couple. Which ones?
I've been to Outside Lands in San Francisco, which is a bit smaller. But it's like just two main stages. It's in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, which was
cool.
Fun. And then I also went to Coachella one year.
You went to Coachella?
Yeah. And it was, okay. I didn't have a great time. I wouldn't go again. Like, that part of my life is over. Unless like I had someone really wealthy who was like getting me into VIP, because I'm obviously not going to afford that on my day school teacher salary. If I could do VIP and I could like stay at a house and not on the campground, I would consider doing it again, because you just do get to see an insane number of artists, and like you get to see these really cool like collaborations between artists. Like, they bring people out who like are surprise guests, and that part is incredible. I saw Hans Zimmer like perform with a full orchestra.
That's sick.
Which was amazing. And then I also saw what's her name sing Killing Me Softly. Lauryn Hill. There we go.
Yeah, she was in the Fugees.
Yeah. So Lauryn Hill came out.
I was gonna say, I don't think it's Roberta Flack.
No, I know. I was like, so weird. So Lauryn Hill came out and performed, which is like insane.
Yeah.
Like, Lauryn Hill classically has horrible stage fright and doesn't even perform at her own concert. So then to get her to watch her sing Killing Me Softly was like an out of body experience. That part was amazing. Yeah. Being at a festival was awful. Everyone is fucked up. And like, there are like lovely moments too. Like, we had fun. Yeah. So I think it's an interesting experience. And it also is just like, so like consumeristic, like the idea, like when it's like you pay for the ticket and then you also have to load money onto your wristband. Like I was like, yeah, you pay so much money for a ticket to Coachella and then you have to buy the most insane food and alcohol. Like it's so expensive. Yeah. And then like people are just out there in these clothes that they're only going to wear one weekend. It's so wasteful. Like, yeah.
I've only ever considered going to one festival. And it was like before the pandemic hit in like January 2020, and my favorite artist was coming to Australia, and her only Sydney show was on like the first night of Pesach, and I was so mad. But then she was gonna play Blues Fest on like the Central Coast, and I was like, I would go to this, like I would literally go just for her, like she's headlining, I will go see her, and then like after the first day leave. And then COVID hit and it didn't happen and she didn't come. Yeah. But it's good. Part of me is like, it was COVID punishment because she was anti-Semitic and scheduled her only concert in Sydney that I could go to on Pesach. Mm-hmm. It was rude.
That must be really rude.
I've solved it, you guys. I actually have a different theory about COVID that I don't think I've ever gotten to on this podcast.
Yeah, what?
I think COVID was manufactured by the people who run the Tony Awards, because in Glee season 6 Rachel Berry wins a 2020 Tony for best actress in a revival, and I think that they disliked Glee and Lea Michele so much that they started COVID so that they could cancel the Tonys and make it that she like, and like make it non-canonical, right? So like make it like make some kind of continuity error, but like retrospectively.
That's
my theory.
That I think, yeah, I can't dispute that.
Like you can't, because it's ironclad.
Yeah, it really is.
One of the only non-racist COVID conspiracy theories you'll ever hear. I have breaking pop culture news.
What?
Barbie Ferreira says she's not coming back to season 3 of Euphoria.
What? Why?
I don't know. I literally just got I get emails from tvline.com and it's the funniest thing in the world because it's always like breaking news. Here's a tiny bit of pop culture thing about a TV show you might have heard of. But yeah, that's all. I haven't read the article yet.
Wow.
See what happens. You heard it here first, folks, but probably not, because like this will come out tomorrow or sometime soon and everyone will already know by then.
Yeah.
Anyway,
pop culture recommendation. Both Shoshana and I are obsessed with A League of Their Own.
Yes, we are.
I also, why you were like, I can't wait to rewatch it. Like, should I rewatch
it? I'm like literally about to start it. I also, and this is probably revealing too much about me as a person, I predicted this on Tumblr in like 2018. Gay reboot of League of Their Own, and I only know that because I logged on for something and I have all of these people reblogging it calling me an oracle. So that's my life right now. Think I'm a prophet. Am I a false one? Will I get killed for it? Only time will tell.
But it's incredible. It's
so good.
So good. So fun.
It's amazing.
Just the right amount. Nostalgic. Like,
it's fantastic.
They like hit all the right notes. Like,
yeah. It's really good. It's really, really good. Everyone should watch it. Okay.
Okay. Kisses,
little burps.
Love you.
Bye, Valerie. Bye.